Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. And it rings true for America right now. The present situation of America is it is full of evil. And the land is becoming desolate. It matters, you know, who runs the country. And we have a special shepherd there now attempting to keep the country together so that we can fulfill our obligations to God. And it's in this book we are tasked with protecting the nation of Israel, God's chosen ones, during an upcoming battle. It's right here in this book. I know Pastor Bob never found that part, never told you about it, but it's here. Verse 12, the spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. And that's what this book also says about America right after we protect Israel during that upcoming end days battle. God says, now, because of all your abominations, you're not following after me, I will lay judgment on your land, and in 1 hour your land will be destroyed. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed for their revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have cursed, caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their hand, out of their land, and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Interesting. Whose land is it? It's mine. I seen I think it was a Saudi prince online speaking about this the other day. Oh, that land belongs to the Palestinians. He said the Palestinians are not a people. He said they are a hodgepodge of outcasts and gypsies. They have no history up in past 50 years ago. He says, we, the Saudis, the Arabs, are the children of Ishmael. The Jews are the children of Jacob. That is their land. It's been long established their land. There is no Palestinian people. He explained it so. And this is an Arab talking about the Jews. That's their land.
Mm-hmm. And I implore anyone to read the Palestinian Charter as a whole, as a nation, and think that there's any bit of sanity in that document after it was written, because there's literally a calling for a genocide of the Jews within their... what we would equate our constitution.
Yeah. I mean, they can't be trusted. Jordan took them all in the 70s. Within like 2 years, they tried to take over. They tried to oust the king.
Yep.
And they expelled them all. That's why they're where they're at now.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's not just it's not just baseless accusations. There's so much truth behind this that.
Oh, I've been in churches where preachers actually said, these Palestinians, they're the Philistines of the Bible. No, they're not.
Right.
The Philistines are done.
Right.
Oh. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out of, and I will return, and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. Talking about millennial time there. Jumping around here, Jeremiah. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy the nations, saith the Lord. And he could only do that during the millennial time. And it's saying, if they will not, even under Christ's rule, I will destroy the nation. But he can only do that at the millennial time, because he promised David there would be a seed of his on the throne forever. And that is when Christ took the throne from David. I mean, this, we talk about this story, how, and that's something that people bring up a lot of times. Oh, God promised there'd be a king from David's line on the throne of Israel. Well, that throne hasn't existed in 2,000 years. But no, there was. When they were in Babylon, when they left Babylon to reestablish, there was a council set up in Babylon. A king in exile was placed on the throne of David and kept there until the day of Christ. They never moved back to the land. The king was never back. After Babylon, Israel never had a king in the land, but there was a figurehead kept on the throne of David in Babylon until Christ came. And Christ died on the cross. He went to hell. He preached to the nation of Israel and all the others in paradise, told them he was their king, the Messiah. And they didn't have the evil Pharisees in paradise to proclaim that he wasn't. The difference, you know, there was no evil in there to contradict what Christ was saying, as there was evil contradicting what he was saying in this world. Obviously, they just ran to him. He took the throne of David. He has it now. And he will return. And the reason I can say that with absolute certainty, it says the king. When he comes back, it says King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his thigh. Mm-hmm. He hasn't become king yet. He's not back. Oh, no. He already has it. He has the scepter of power, the line of David. King of Kings. Jeremiah. Do see if we can fit in one more chapter. Chapter 13. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle. Put it upon thy loins and put it not in water. So I got a girdle, according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. Okay, it's kind of strange, but look what Jeremiah is doing, following the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, the commander, you know, he went to the prophet. He had the skin disease, what is it called? Leprosy. Yeah. Went to the prophet. Prophet said, go dip yourself 7 times in Jordan. And he went away sad. He said, the water in my country is cleaner than that old muddy creek.
Mm-hmm.
How can that possibly help me?
Start questioning.
Yeah. Yeah. And his servant said, Master, if he'd have told you to do some unbelievable effort, you would have surely went and done it immediately. Go climb Mount Everest and build 7 fires.
Bring back an eagle's egg.
And your leprosy will be cleansed. But he just said, go dip yourself 7 times. What would it hurt to go and try?
Mm-hmm.
And he did, and he was cleansed. I mean, I can see Elijah saying, Jeremiah saying, linen eat. Yeah, I mean, these guys wore these buckskin girdles and all. That right. Linen one looks kind of sissified, but go and put on a linen girdle.
Right.
Okay, Lord, I'll do that. But you know them soft guys wear those. Go do it. Okay. Then go and hide it in a hole. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. And I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. It was ruined. Probably shrank up, mud stains all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Just a little hands-on demonstration of what God has in store for his disobedient children. Hopefully he's not planning anything like that for me or for you, Christian. You got to focus on God. You got to focus on your spiritual attention to God. Have a conversation daily, because he will conspire against you if you are disobedient. That's what he's doing right here. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel. and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise. For a praise. They're mine. I want to hear my children, my creations, praising me, and for a glory. But they would not hear. Therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine. They shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Question. Oh, we got it good. Things are good here. Don't bother us. Mm-hmm. Go away. Surprise, them guys didn't kill you last chapter. We heard they were going to kill you. What happened? We were hoping. Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitations of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And that is spiritual drunkenness, Pastor. I'm not going to crack open the beer kegs. God's not going to bring the Clydesdales and the big beer wagon into town. Mm-hmm. Spiritual drunkenness. That means they will have no... You know, they're toying around with falling Baal. Now, they're going to fall absolutely in love with these false gods. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord, I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. The fear of the Lord must be enrooted, ingrained within you, Christian. Oh, but God is love. Yes, God is love. But if you don't fear him, you don't follow his statutes. You don't fear him. You don't worry about sinning. You know, every time some situation comes my way, I think, if I do this, I will be punished. Fear of God is essential. Oh, but I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. Probably not. You're probably going to the kingdom of God if you truly are following after God. There's very few that get in the kingdom of heaven. And you got to read Revelation 3 and 4 to realize that. But the kingdom of God is an awesome place. If I'm on the furthest outskirts, guarding the border of hell and the kingdom of heaven, that's fine with me because I didn't deserve that. I was deserving to be on the hell side. Don't ever think you deserve to go to heaven. That's a bad situation to be in. No one does. The Bible says it over and over again. All have sinned and deserve hell.
There is no entitlement there.
Absolutely not. It is through grace. And grace means that you didn't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Mm-hmm. Give glory to the Lord your God before he hath, for he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. While ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death. Make it gross darkness. Wow. Mm-hmm. Give glory to the Lord your God while you can, before he causes darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, before you are so lost that you can't find your way back. There is a point, heathen, the Holy Spirit will no longer try to turn you around. He'll just let you go. And at that point, it is nearly impossible to find your way to salvation through the blood of Christ. Not impossible, nearly possible. I mean, the man on the cross behind Christ was right at this point. There were two of them on there, and they were cursing Christ all day long. And one of them realized who he was. And he was put there for that purpose. He led the life that he chose as a criminal, that God steered him into. I'm absolutely certain, and God does that, to show us, to give this example within this Bible, that it's never too late. Moments before his death, he realizes, this truly is the Son of God. Please remember me, Christ, when you come into your kingdom. And grace was given him. He didn't deserve. And he didn't say he was going to heaven. But I've heard that come from the pulpit too. Oh, the man on the cross is in heaven today. No, he's not. It says, what did Christ say? You'll be with me today. You'll be in the kingdom of heaven, not heaven. Heaven is a city that comes down onto the new earth, into God's kingdom, where God resides, and where two types of saved individual reside. The rest of us, it says, are in the kingdom because we did not effort enough. You don't get your salvation through the works of your hands, but you get your status as a servant by the works of your hand. How good a servant were you? Were you good enough to reside in the city of heaven? Or were you just saved? You went through the routines, you know, you just your mundane Christian, which most of us are. Kingdom of heaven. Yeah, they got a sorting. They got like cattle chutes when you get up there. Yeah, that's not documented in the book, but
right.
Cattle chutes, you know. You got kingdom of heaven right here. Go to and from heaven. Throne room entrance right here. Yeah, there's three types that get one type gets to visit the city of heaven, but they live in the outer kingdom. One type gets to live in the city of heaven. One type gets to go into the throne room of God, and then got that big chute on the left side.
Oh yeah,
kingdom of God. You know, I'm happy to go there though, because I didn't deserve that. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And there is something detrimental to have no part of pride. Pride will destroy you, King Saul. And mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. Humble yourselves. And every time a prophet would come to town preaching that destruction from God is coming, the kings would humble themselves. They'd rip their clothing, their beautiful golden clothing. Then they'd take it off, put on sackcloth, dump ashes on their heads, and sit in the dirt. You know, the king's sitting in the dirt. Mm-hmm. And if the king is sitting in the dirt, obviously we need to sit in the dirt too. The entire nation would humble itself. But he says, say unto the king, say unto the greatest people of the land, humble yourselves. God has no way to make allowances for you if you're full of pride. Pride elevates you beyond God. That was Satan's original sin. Pride. I will elevate myself to be like the Most High, because I am the most beautiful of creations. I deserve it. We don't deserve anything but hell, Christian. While you can, humble yourselves. The city of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee? Thy beautiful flock, what has become of my beautiful flock? They are speckled and full of blemishes. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains. And as chief over thee, shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? You have puffed them up. My people are no longer humble. They're full of pride. They see themselves all as captains, America. That's not Captain America. Captains, mm-hmm. America. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing I get from social media is that everyone is the most important person in the world.
Yes, number one.
Yes. Oh, everything I say. Even the fight with my spouse needs to be posted.
Yes.
And I need to get likes on it, or
right.
People gathering on my side. The ones that get on her side, I'll unlike them.
Block.
You know? Humble yourselves. Mm-hmm. So proud. Everyone is so important. You should have it in your mind. I'm the least of all things. God compares us to gnats in this book. The least of all becomes the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't say the proud and haughty become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, the least of all. That you must be like a child. And that doesn't mean a little ignorant baby. That means an innocent. Children are not proud.
Humble.
They need to get services from their parents. They need things. Proud people don't need anything. They have all that they need within themselves. Wow, Jeremiah is beaten on this pride today. Lift up your eyes and behold, that come from the north. Okay, we already hit that one. Let's do 21. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? Hey, you, when it happens, what are you going to say? You had it coming. I'm going to stand over here and say, I told you so. In my, with that little linen thing that I showed you. Yeah. For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as chief over thee, shall not sorrows take thee? As a woman in travail, you are the king. And I'm telling you, y'all, you straighten up. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, wherefore came these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. How, when it happens, O king, and if thou say in thine heart, why did this happen to us? Remember my words here today. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Oh, that's a controversial one there. I may or may not introduce you to that one today. I think I will. Let me get a little past it first. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. It's never too late, he's saying again. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measure from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thy adulteries and thy neighings, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt that not be made clean? Question mark. Why won't you turn around while you still have a chance? When shall it once be? Begging them to turn around, put aside these false gods, park that 1967 Maserati somewhere out of sight, focus on God. It can be something as simple as that, a car, an iPhone, social media could be your God. You spend 12 hours a day on it. You better consider what has precedence in your life. Take a moment just to revisit number 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? When Noah parked the boat and the three young men, his sons, got off, they moved off in different directions. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Well, Mr. Ham moved to Ethiopia. But Ham had done something on the boat. It wasn't good. You got to catch the episode surrounding Noah, and it wasn't the fact that he saw his father naked and made fun of him. No, I know Pastor Bill and Pastor William and, well, same, and Pastor Rob both say that, but it wasn't that. He discovered his father's nakedness. Do a Google search on that within this Bible. It refers back to he had relations with Noah's wife, who may or may not have been his real mother. We don't know that. Bible doesn't explain it. But, and he was cursed. Canaan, his son. God says, I put an everlasting... No, Noah did this. Not God, but apparently with God's permission, because it, in fact, became so. Noah said, I curse your son to be a servant of servants for the entirety of this world. Now, this was a curse. Doesn't mean anything today other than you can, if you are dark-skinned, you can trace your origins to Ham, you know? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Nothing bad about it. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that you are descendants of Ham. And I know there's been a lot of controversy about that, but I don't see it controversial. Mm-hmm. I see it as family lineage. You take it one of these DNA tests, come back to the nation of Africa, which originated in the land of Ethiopia, children of Ham. Okay, we've covered a lot of things today.
A
old Jeremiah, just and it's so applicable today in America. Repent while you can. It's all about the heart. This religion is going to get you nowhere. And with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.